It's a time where everybody can ask questions, and I ask them questions, and they raise their hands. Everybody gets involved with it. Hard to do that on Sunday morning. But this morning, I do have a question for everybody. Does everybody know what the word rapture means? And do you know what you believe about the word rapture? If you do, raise your hand. If you know what the word rapture is, and you know what it means to you and what you believe about it. Because this is a subject that, as Christians, we rejoice and get excited about. What does the word really mean in the Scripture? Have you ever been sitting in a chair and you get to thinking about something and all of a sudden your mind just drifts away? It just takes you someplace that you, wherever you're thinking, maybe you're thinking about mountains or maybe you're thinking about someplace, some beautiful place and you know, just far away. Just wherever you are, just somewhere then different than when you are right now. And your wife or husband or your kid or your boss walks up and says something to you and you don't even hear them. You are not there. You are gone someplace else. And they tap you on the shoulder and say, "Hey, wake up." But you're awake. But you're thinking about someplace else. I tell you, Paul talks about this, that the church will be carried up into the air, carried to a different place, some place different than where you are at the moment that it happens. Let's look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting in verse 13. This is a long verse, so for me to read, it's like five verses, so let's pay attention. 1 Thessalonians 4. You have your Bible, follow along. If you don't, just listen. This is Paul speaking. He says, "Now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to believers who have died, so you'll not grieve like people who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. He says, we tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living, when the Lord returns, will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with a trumpet call of God. First the Christians who have died will rise from their graves. Then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. So encourage each other with these words." So, after reading this scripture, when is the rapture going to happen? And who's going to get to go? That's a question that Christians and people talk about a lot. The word rapture in Latin means to be caught up. It means that the church of Jesus Christ, those who have trusted in Christ as their Savior, will literally be transported from earth to heaven in an instant. Kind of like on Star Trek, "Beam me up, Scotty." Boom. 1 second you're standing there and the next you're in heaven. Those who are raptured there will not die. There's no death for them. It's just snap of a finger, boom, there with Jesus. And they'll be caught up in the air with him. And no one knows when this is going to happen, though. But we do know that it's going to be soon. You know, the way I see it, there's really only two beliefs in being raptured, whether you're going to be raptured before the tribulation time that the Bible talks about or after tribulation. One is pre-millennial, the other is post-millennial. There's really just two when you come down to it. But I believe that the Scripture says that we will be raptured before the tribulation. I'll tell you why. In Revelation 3:10, it says, "Because you have obeyed my command to persevere, I will protect you from the great time of testing that will come upon the whole world to test those who belong to this world." After reading that, the only way you can keep us from the hour of temptation is eliminate us from even being there. So we would be taken before the tribulation. But whatever you believe, believe me, it's going to happen. It's going to come. But we're not to stop living. We're not to stop working and witnessing and doing things for Christ. We're to do those things until He returns. The rapture shouldn't be something that should scare us. It should be something that should comfort us as Christ believers, that He's coming back to get us. Can you imagine what that day is going to be like, though? Just think about it for a second. Here you are, a guy's chasing a steer, and he throws his loop, and poof, he's gone. The rope's done went around the horns, the horse is on a dead run, and he's tied off. But the guy's gone. A car driving down the road. Everything looks great. You see a car coming at you. I hope this is not you. You see a car coming at you, but there's no driver. That car is going to hit something. There's going to be a man working in the pen sorting cows, and all of a sudden he's going to be gone. You could be in bed. It could happen at nighttime. You could be in bed. You wake up, and the person next to you is gone, and you don't know where they went. They just disappeared. That's what it's going to be like for when the rapture comes. We never know when it's going to happen. But I have to tell you about this because the Lord commands us to tell this story. In 2 Timothy 4, 3 through 4, it says, "For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear." Some of your Bibles may say that it tickles their ears. And it says they will reject the truth and will chase after myths. So my time as a pastor to stand before you in this world is short. I don't have a long time to stand and tell you the truth of the gospel. It's my responsibility. God holds me accountable for every word that I speak and every other pastor that's in every church here in America. My time is short, and believe me, I know it. So why do I bring up a message about the rapture? Because God told me to. It was evident when I started preparing the sermon this week that I could not get past this story about the rapture in the Scriptures. So as long as I can, and the Lord leads me, I'm going to continue to preach the truth about the gospel. Jesus died for you. If you were to die right now, today, if you were to leave this earth and not be breathing anymore, do you know for certain that if you died, that you would go to heaven? What does it take to get to heaven? I've said it before, just coming to church doesn't get you into heaven. No more than, like I said before, and you've heard it 100 times already, that if you walk into a garage, it doesn't make you a car. Just because you're here does not mean that you're going to get to go to heaven. Going to heaven has one thing that's important about it. It's a free gift. There's nothing that you can do to pay for it. There's nothing that you can do as a person to earn it. It's a free gift. All you have to do is accept it. But first off, you have to realize first that you're a sinner and that you need salvation, that you want to go to heaven. It's going to be a sad day, believe me, for a lot of folks when the rapture comes. And if both you are, as husband and wife, are not equally yoked, one of you, and what that means is one's a Christian, one's not, and one's going to heaven and one's not, that's going to be a sad day for you, because I'm telling you, the pain is going to be more intense than you would want to experience, because you'll realize that every time you were in church, you heard about it, but you didn't do anything about it. You said, I've always got tomorrow. I've always got the next day. Why God impressed on me to preach this morning, I don't know. But listen, because it is important. I don't know when the rapture is going to come. I don't have a clue. But I do know it's going to be soon. So where do you stand? I normally don't give an invitation. In cowboy churches, we don't give invitations. It's just something we don't do because we don't want to make the cowboys and the people in the cowboy culture uncomfortable. And I'm not going to give one today, but I'm going to tell you the prayer that it takes. I normally don't pray this prayer because it's a prayer that, to me, it's kind of written down, and it's not. It isn't. Sometimes when I say it, it feels like I'm just repeating something that I have memorized, and it's not from my heart. But if you are here this morning and you don't know for sure if you're a Christian, listen to this prayer because it's important. Heavenly Father, I know that I'm a sinner. I also believe that you love me and sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross so that my sins might be forgiven. Right now, I accept that precious gift of forgiveness. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. I give myself completely to you to do with you as you wish. I am no longer my own. I belong to you. You lead and I will follow. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all, I want to tell you something. Time is getting shorter all the time for those who do not know Christ. The signs are real, what's happening in the world today. If you think that becoming a Christian is, if you're tough now, if you think if you accept Christ you're not going to be tough anymore, you don't know what we're talking about. You're still going to be the same person. You can't change who you are to come to Christ. You have to come to Christ as you are, right where you're at right now, with all your faults, with everything that's good about you. You may be a good person, you may be the best person in this community, but if you don't know Christ, you're not going to go to heaven. You're going to be left behind. That is a sad thing to say. You will be left behind. Miss the boat, miss the ship, whatever you want to call it. Get to go to heaven. I know a lot of you are thinking, well, I've been going to church all my life. That's good. I'm glad that you have been. But have you ever taken that step of asking Jesus to save you? That's the step that's important. Not how many times you've graced the doors of church. Thank God you're here this morning. But you were here for a reason. It was not by accident that you're here this morning to hear this message. Not by accident at all. If you do not know the Lord, when we pray, pray that prayer. Ask the Lord to come into your heart and to save you. Because that would be a sad day when the rapture does come and you're not among the ones that get to go. I mean, don't you agree? Think about it. What if you're left behind? I know there's a lot of you that's sitting out there that's squirming in your seat thinking, man, is he ever going to shut up? And I am. I promise. Right now, we're going to pray. But I'm going to tell you, I have to tell you about it. I cannot just whitewash this over and make it sound great. It's something that you have to do if you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you want to get to go to heaven. If you feel the Holy Spirit talking to you this morning, don't leave this building. Come and find one of the elders. Come find me. Come talk to us. We'll go through the prayer with you. It's so easy. You don't have to change who you are to come to Christ. Let the Holy Spirit afterwards will talk to you and tell you some things to do, but you don't have to do anything different. You don't have to be the best person to come to Christ. You just have to be willing to accept the free gift of eternal life. Let's pray. Father, we just come to you this morning. Lord, I know why you had me bring this message, because there's someone here, Father, even if it's just one person that doesn't know you, Father, and needs that salvation, Father, this message was worth it. Making folks feel uncomfortable is not really what I want to do, Father, but anytime you present God's Word, it's going to cause you to squirm a little bit. It's going to cause us to be a little uncomfortable because we're not perfect. We are imperfect people, and we know it. Only you and you alone are perfect. I just pray, Father, if there's anyone that does not know you, that this morning they will receive you as their Lord and Savior. Father, what a great day that would be for someone to receive Christ. We just thank you for what you're going to do. Thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to be in the service this morning. We just thank you for being here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As uncomfortable as that may be, I still want to thank you for being here this morning. I want to thank you for being at Common Ground Cowboy Church. If you're looking for a church home, you're not going to find a better place to come and serve God than right here. If this is your first time, welcome. We're glad to have you. Hope that you come back. But if you're a regular and you've been coming, we're glad to see you again. It's just good to see everybody. I tell you these things because I love you, not because I have to. As a minister of the gospel, I have to. But I'm telling you these things about the Bible because I love you and I don't want you to miss out on it. If you have a prayer request, we have a green sheet back there that you can fill out and put your prayer request on it, and we'll be sure and pray for you. If you don't want to tell what it is, then you don't put it down. Just say that it's unspoken, and we'll still pray for you, and the Holy Spirit will take care of that. He will tell God what it is that you need prayer for. If you're looking for a church home and you do want to join the church, there's that same green sheet is the one you can put down and fill out and become a member of Common Ground. We just want to thank you again for being here. Hope you have a great day.